The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, here we are. Today we're going to be talking to Sister Anna Rose Cerrone. She's from the greater Cleveland area, and she is a member of the Franciscan Sisters, TOR. They're in Toronto, Ohio, down around Steubenville. And Sister, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
You were very close in many, many ways to religion your whole life because of your mom.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, my mom has just been a good influence on me, and now she works for Religious Goods Store Henninger's, and so yeah, it's faith has been a part of my life growing up my whole life, and really, yeah, both of my parents were just so good about instilling that in us, so it's been a gift.
Yeah. When did you begin to feel the call to religious life?
I don't think I could point out one particular moment where I can say that was the first time I ever felt called to religious life. Like I said, I was blessed that I was raised in a very devout family, and I always knew that going to church and that being close to the Lord was important. But I can't really say that I felt a call to religious life from a young age. I think I just kind of assumed that I would get married, like most people do. Mm-hmm. And so really, the call to religious life for me has always been very closely bound up with just my own journey of coming to know the Lord in a personal way. And so, I would say like the first time that I started feeling called to religious life was probably around when I was in high school. And it a lot of times was connected with, different prayer experiences or retreats where I began to realize that, you know, the Lord wasn't just a right answer in a religion class. He wasn't just an obligation, but he was a real person who loved me deeply and who desired a relationship with me. And every time I would have a realization or an experience of that, there was also just a sense of a call, an invitation, I guess, with it as well, which through the years I came to recognize as a call to religious life. But it's almost like the call was there before I realized it.
Kind of bubbling below the surface, maybe, and something happened to bring it to the surface.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, the Lord, you know, as it says in Scripture, the Lord knows the plans that he has for our life. And so the call has been there my whole life. And yeah, the Lord is just so good and patient in letting it unfold, you know, as I was ready to receive it.
I was looking at the website of the sisters, and it's really interesting. I had no idea how involved the formation process is. Can you describe some of that? Because you're a postulant first, and on and on the steps it goes, and it's years, as long as a priesthood, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you're definitely not, you're not unusual in that regard. I remember during my years when I was in formation, with our community. Also, when I would explain the process to people back home, there would a lot of times be surprise. And I think part of it is because it looks, even though it's very similar in some ways to a man's formation in the seminary, it looks different in that in most cases, a woman, you know, leaves home and enters, and it's a very concrete step. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world sees it, your family sees it, everybody sees it. But really, even though it is a very concrete step, it's just one more step in some ways in the beginning of a discernment journey. And so, yeah, as you were saying, the journey from when you enter a religious community until when you make final vows. It differs a little bit depending on the community, but it usually is somewhere around 8 years or so. And so, yeah, for our community, the way that looks is you enter into postulancy, so you become a postulant, and that's really just a continued period of inquiring. You're here, you're with us, you're living the life, but you're also just, you know, taking a gradual time to be acclimated into our way of life. So
that can take a year or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. It takes a year for most women in our community. And and even a lot of that time is, you know, our formation, the women are in classes here at our mother house, and a lot of it's just human formation. Like, you know, well, first of all, after learning, like, you know, where the cereal is and where do I find the bowls in the kitchen and all of that, you know, just how to live in community with people, communication, greater self-knowledge, along with different, you know, basic courses and understanding the precepts of the faith and understanding religious life, you know, just a general course in that, you know, a general course in who St. Francis is and his spirituality. So that's about a year. And
that's in Formation House, they say? Is that you're all together, mm-hmm. the new postulants?
Yeah. So the way that it looks in our community is our Formation House is part of our Mother House. So our Mother House is a big building, and kind of one side of that building is what we call the Formation House. And so the postulants live there, and also the novices, which is the next stage in formation. And they live there with the sisters who are in charge of their formation. So we call our sisters in leadership sister servants, as a reminder of servant leadership. So the sister servant of postulants, the sister servant of novices lives there, and then usually one or two other professed sisters also who are on a formation team. And so all of those, so it really is even an environment that's really geared toward fostering a woman's continued discernment and her growth, really, you know, just as a person and as a woman, and coming to know more about religious life so that she can continue, you know, to discern, is this really where God is calling me or is it not? Yeah. So after that first year, it's another 2 years when you are a novice, and that's when you start looking like a sister a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So you start wearing a veil, you start going by sister so-and-so, whatever your sister name becomes. And that time, really, especially the first of those 2 years, is really meant to be a time where you're set apart. So your communication with family and those outside of community is more limited during that time, for the purpose of really just really diving into prayer and to just a more intentional time of discernment. So you're studying our community constitutions, you're studying the vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. You're learning more about religious life. And so those 2 years, they're just a really special time of just continued discernment and growth and learning. And the purpose being to, again, allow a woman, you know, as she discerns and as she walks with the sister who is her formator, to discern if the Lord's inviting her to take the next step and take first vows, or another word for that is temporary vows.
I'm going to stop you right there, sister. But before we go to commercial, I'm going to have a little quiz. I bet you can figure out what day I was born.
Oh, no.
I bet you can.
I don't know.
My name is Paul Francis Orlowski.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's a number of days that you could have been born, but were you born on the Feast of St. Francis?
Yes, I was.
October 4th? No way.
That's right. You did it.
That's awesome.
We'll be right back on God Calling with Sister Anna Rose of the St. Francis Sisters down around Steubenville, actually Toronto, Ohio, right after this. Welcome back to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We're with Sister Anna Rose Cerrone from the Cleveland area. And Sister, we stopped after the vitiate 2 years. Now it's time for a temporary profession of vows. It's getting very serious now.
Very serious. Yeah, seriously. It's true. Like I said at the beginning, this whole period, this whole process for a woman is, just really a process of deepening and ongoing discernment. And so once you've made vows, first vows or temporary vows, that period really is just a time of continuing. A word that we'll use sometimes is kind of test the vocation or the commitment that's been made. So you've made vows and you've made a commitment, but the church in her wisdom gives a man, you know, in religious life or a woman in religious life, some continued time to really live the life in a more full way and to continue to discern, you know, if this is what the Lord is really inviting them to. And so for different communities, it looks different. In men and women's communities looks different. But for our community, usually the period of temporary vows is about 4 to 6 years. And we profess vows for a year and then we renew them every year. So and during that time, you could continue to live at the mother house, but you will likely also live at some of our different mission houses. So the way that our community is set up is we have a mother house, but then we also have different mission houses where we also live our life and our apostolate. And so a woman in temporary vows will get some time living at one or a number of those different houses. Again, just continue to enable her to discern our life, to discern how our ministries fit with her, you know, and just to continue to give her time to just deepen and develop in actually living the vows. You know, she's been studying about the vows for 3 years and in a concentrated way. And so it's a chance to really feel what that's like from, you know, from the inside.
It sounds like some of those who are farther along in the process, they're interacting with the postulants and the novices. It sounds like that helps their formation too, because by this time you're probably working with some of the postulants and stuff like that, I would guess.
Yeah, you're definitely interacting, which is really just a beautiful experience. Usually the women who, or the sisters who are, you know, actually directly working with the postulants or novices, those sisters would be further along in their commitment. So they would be in final vows. But there is a way in which from both ends, you know, it's when you're a postulant and just coming in, it's really, really wonderful to be able to, get to know and to chat with, you know, sisters who are closer to you, but still, you know, further along than you, you know, to just kind of be like, okay, what was your experience like? And vice versa, you know, just in a, even for sisters who are further along, you know, after final vows, I know one of the blessings here at the Mother House is that we have postulants and novices living with us. And it's, you know, they bring a renewed vitality and life and, you know, perspective, and that continually, that also renews a community. So it's really beautiful actually to see the way that the cycle of life, if you will, of a community, is kind of set up to be renewing itself.
I have the profession formula in front of me here. It says, I, in your case, Sister Anna Rose, vow to Almighty God to live for the whole of my life, the counsels of chastity, poverty, and obedience according to the rule and life of the brothers and sisters of the Third Order Regular of St. Francis. What is the Third Order?
Yeah, good question. So the Third Order of St. Francis is way back when St. Francis was living in the 1200s. He actually founded what we now know is three different orders. So there's the First Order, the Second Order, and the Third Order. The First Order is what we would think of when we think of Franciscan brothers. Usually the First Order is made up of men. The Second Order is actually cloistered women, so it's the Poor Clares. They're the Second Order.
Okay.
And then the Third Order is actually, they actually started as people in the world, so as laymen and women who wanted to live the spirit of Saint Francis, but in their lives as lay people. And so really, you know, so to live, you know, those values of simplicity and poverty and humility, but in the world. And so that Francis also gave writings to those men and women. And then through the years, as things progressed, some of those orders still exist in what we would know as the secular Franciscans today. But for other groups, they actually ended up taking that way of life and regularizing it, or making it was a rule. So a religious rule is the way that it's the writing that guides our life. So that's what regular means. So for some of those Third Order men and women, they started living that life as religious men and women. And so that's where we are.
Okay.
It's the Franciscan family tree has a lot of branches on it and a lot of different communities and ways of looking. So, but that's the somewhat short answer.
You mentioned rules, and I was looking here at rule number 7, and I guess maybe I'm going to paraphrase, but it kind of says what your formation and what that discernment is all about. And that is putting aside all attachments, every care and every worry, only concerned to serve, love, adore, and honor God with single heart and pure mind. Does that kind of sum it up? Do you grow into that mindset?
That's a beautiful passage from our rule. It's neat. Actually, the Third Order rule has 32 articles in it. And so we read one of those every night before dinner. And so, yeah, that single-heartedness and purity of intention, it's an ongoing work.
Okay.
So there's some nights when I hear that and I'm like, oh my gosh, today was not one of those days of single-heartedness and purity of intention. But, that's what the goal is. And that's what we're all becoming by God's grace. And, I think that's one of the things that Francis really lived, he grasped, he knew in his life, and he imparted to others, was that single-heartedness, that simplicity, which, you know, is reflected in a number of different ways in material poverty and things like that. But all of that really does just kind of boil down to, a single gaze, which is on our Lord crucified, who Francis mm-hmm. loved so much. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, that value of simplicity, humility, littleness is that's one of the things that's really at the heart of who we are as Franciscans.
I wish this internet was around when I was in school, because I'd be a lot, it makes me look a lot smarter than I really am, sister. I can look all this
really
stuff
impressed
up.
By what you've been finding.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Sister Anna Rose in just a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to God Calling on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski. We're with Sister Anna Rose Cerrone today. She is with the Franciscan Sisters down around Steubenville. And Sister, I should ask this right off the top. Why did you choose Anna Rose as your religious name?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. So the tradition in our community is that a woman can either choose to keep the name that she was given at her baptism, or she can, if she discerns to take a religious name, then she chooses three and submits them to the Reverend Mother and her council, and then they pray about it and decide on a name. So it's about half and half. Some of our sisters have kept their name that they came in with, and some of our sisters have taken a religious name. I kind of did a little bit of both. So
okay.
my baptismal name is Anna, but Rose is a religious name. The short answer to it is one of the reasons I chose Rose is because it's a little bit of a symbolism of Saint Therese, and she's one of my favorite saints, and I just love her emphasis actually on simplicity and on the fact that everything is a gift, everything is grace, and that's actually what the name Anna means. It comes from the word that means grace, and so that's one of the reasons I felt called to keep the name, is just remembering that my life, everything that I have, is a gift. And so the patron, though, that I actually chose for my name is Anna the Prophetess. And so she's actually, we're going to hear about her pretty soon, but she's the woman in the Gospel of Luke who shows up during the mystery of the presentation. Her and Simeon come to the temple when Jesus is presented. And there's not much said about her, but she mm-hmm. waited on the Lord her whole life with fasting and prayer. And then when he showed up, she told everybody about him. And
okay.
Yeah, really, when I was praying about it, I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I want to do.
Well, and outreach in all religious communities, you have to do it. I mean, you've got to hit people where they are. And I know your order offers to do talks or retreats, and there's a lot of information on your website to mm-hmm. to reach out to folks and mm-hmm. to wake them up, I guess, to the whatever they're called to. How important is outreach?
It's very important, and I think, we see it really just as kind of like an extension of who we are. So we're a contemplative active community, and so our life of prayer really is primary, and our first apostolate, really. And so in all of our houses, whether a mission house or the mother house, we spend, all told, usually about 5 hours a day in prayer of some kind. So whether that's silent adoration, mass, praise and worship, rosary together, and that really fuels everything else that we do, and the apostolates that, you know, we discern to take on. The beautiful thing about St. Francis is that he founded a way of life, and then the apostolates kind of flow from that, and that's really how we see our life. And so some of the works of mercy that we're engaged in right now look a lot of different ways, but kind of the two big umbrellas that they fall under right now are works of mercy with the poor. So we do work with the poor, and then we also do campus ministry on different college campuses. And so there's, you know, other things that kind of fall under that and alongside that, like talks, parish missions, spiritual direction, but work with the poor and work with college students are two of the apostolates that many of our sisters are engaged in right now.
Is a lot of the work at Franciscan University?
Yeah, some of of it. We do have a mission house at Franciscan University, and so we have sisters who minister there, which is a great gift. And Franciscan University also has a study abroad program in Austria, so we have some of our sisters live in a house on the campus over there, and then we also have a mission house at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay, I read a beautiful passage from one of the sisters, how problems in her life turn into good things, about being late for a meeting with some students and running into a woman who needed some food, and then you've probably seen it, but it's an interesting way to look at life, that these problems aren't all bad necessarily.
Yeah, amen. And I think in anybody's life, you see it in our life of, our community life, our family life, and our life of ministry is no different than anyone else's. So it's just really like our sister shared in that reflection, it's just having the eyes to see, so it's being able to realize, okay, I'm late, and so I'm probably a little bit upset with myself for being late, but what's the Lord offering me in this moment of being late? And as you shared in that story, there was such a beautiful plan that the Lord had in her lateness, and that's just what it is to be human, and our ministries and our community life especially, that's just the privilege that we have, getting to live with one another, to love one another day in and day out, to love the people that we serve at, on college campuses, or that we serve when we are ministering with the poor. It's really just asking the Lord for the eyes to see and to recognize Him in each person, and hopefully to be able to show Him forth in ourselves as well. So our life is very simple, and it doesn't it's not big and changing the world or anything like that. But if you have eyes to see it, it is making a difference.
Something I noticed in talking to various people in your type of a setting is there's it comes through in your voice. There's a joy, and it sounds like you found your calling, and I can you can hear that in your voice and the joy with which you serve the Lord. Before we go, Sister, St. Francis Sisters, TOR, Franciscan Sisters, TOR.org is where you can find more information. Some of these reflections are just beautiful, and what the sisters do, and how you might help them, also very important. And if you would like to hear from them, you can sign up to have them contact you as well. So, Sister Anna Rose Cerrone, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a gift to be with you. And know of my prayers for each person who's listening.
Very good. Thank you, Sister. That is it for this week on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We'll join you next week at exactly the same time. We hope you'll join us. Until then, be good.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.